As midterm election season kicks into high gear, GOP candidates have increasingly tied their fates to the lie that the 2020 presidential election was stolen. While in Washington, more communication sent by Republican officials on and around January 6th are coming to light. It's a good time to check in with our Politics Monday team. That's Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report with Amy Walter and Tamara Keith of NPR. Very good to see both of you on this Monday evening. Hello, Politics Monday. So, Amy, I'll start with you. If we needed any more proof that President Trump looms large in this year's midterm elections, we saw it in last night's Georgia first Republican primary debate, gubernatorial candidates, David Perdue, Brian Kemp. And Perdue began the debate by saying that the 2020 presidential election was rigged, that President Trump actually won re-election. That's right. And then it became a theme throughout much of the rest of the debate. Here's just a short excerpt.
He said it was a clean election. He denies anything happened.
I never say that. I have never said that, ever.
Do you not tonight think it was a clean election?
I've never said it was a clean election.
The difference between you and me, Governor. Well, the difference between you and me, excuse me, I'm not done yet. The difference between you and me is the fact that you think that John Ossoff and Biden won fair and square. That's the difference between the two of us. You're telling the people in Georgia that that's what the truth is, and you want us to swallow that and move on.
Well, let me remind you, I can speak for myself, and that's not what I said. I've always said there's fraud in every election.
So you now have both of these candidates talking about fraud. What does it say about where Republicans are right now?
Though only one of them has been endorsed by Donald Trump, and that's David Perdue, who also lost his bid for re-election in the runoff election in January of this year. Many Republicans would like to move on from the 2020 election. Donald Trump does not want to move on from the 2020 election. He wants to keep relitigating it. And he's making sure that those who did not support him in either overturning the election or not certifying the election in their state will suffer the consequences. However, voters, at least what we're seeing in polling in the state of Georgia, aren't interested in relitigating it either. They agree with Perdue, the former senator, that the election was fraudulent, that Donald Trump really won the election. They like Donald Trump a lot, but they also like the governor. And accusations about that David Perdue is making, that the governor didn't stand up enough to protect the election, kind of fall flat when it is, as Kemp noted often in this debate, that it was the reason that Democrats have a majority in the Senate right now is because David Perdue lost that race. And a good reason why David Perdue lost that race, as did the other Republican in the runoff that election, is because then President Trump went around during the runoff saying how terrible the election was and how it was stolen, and a whole bunch of Republicans didn't show up to vote.
So, Tam, if it's an argument that didn't work in 2020, why do Republicans think it's going to work this time?
Well, they are right now in the primary. And in the primary, all that matters is how close can you hug Donald J. Trump? And so candidates up and down the ballot in states, but especially states like Georgia and Pennsylvania, states where the former president has not given up. Like a dog with a bone, he has not given up on relitigating that election and trying. You know, he put out a statement today supporting an effort to try to overturn the election in Wisconsin, I think, and said any real Republican needs to support that effort. It's 2022, and he's still doing that and showing that you can at least nod to fraud, or, you know, say that you have concerns with the election, or somehow, if you aren't going to go full bore and say it was completely fraudulent and rigged, if you're a Republican, you have to, like, at least acknowledge before you can talk about anything else. It's a litmus test. It is a litmus test in the Republican primary to just say that, you know, you're cool with Trump.
So. Yeah, and remember, the governor signed into law earlier this last year voting legislation that would do things like restricting the number of drop boxes, and there's tighter voter ID now on absentee ballots, things like that. So obviously it had an impact in terms of actions, reactions from the governor, and he most recently signed legislation about having a handgun, and you don't need a permit to do so. So getting on the right side of conservatives by doing those things, and it makes the argument that he has not done enough to protect Trump, it's harder to make that sell.
And clearly, this is not the only state where those arguments are taking place. But, Tam, let's turn to something else we're seeing, where President Trump is very, very much present in these the stories that have come out of the last few days. The House Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, in this new book, he is on a recording telling a fellow Republican that he plans to tell President Trump he needs to resign. We just heard, we played some of the clip, some of what he said earlier in the program. He's now denying that. He said, that's just whatever. It's not anything that I said. But now you see, we're now seeing more reporting today. CNN had this. Texts from House members who on the day of January 6th were saying to Mark Meadows, the chief of staff, President Trump's chief of staff, please tell the president, this is from Marjorie Taylor Greene, please tell the president to calm people. This isn't the way to solve anything. This is Congressman Timmons from South Carolina. The president needs to stop this ASAP. Congressman Loudermilk of Georgia, it's really bad up here on the Hill. They breached the Capitol. This doesn't help our cause. So they're on the record. The texts are there. This is material that was turned over to the January 6th committee. But where is it going? Every one of these members is now saying it wasn't something that they really meant.
You know, in some ways, it all makes sense in that these were text messages that were sent when they were under attack. They were literally under attack. People died that day. Their place of employment had people charging into it, looking for members of Congress and shouting about hanging. Like, it was utterly frightening. They were evacuated and they were texting because they thought that the president of the United States could do something to tell his supporters to go home. It took him hours and hours to do it, and he did sort of a mediocre job of telling them to go home at best. But very quickly, Republicans started shifting away from that. Within hours. If you look at other text messages, Marjorie Taylor Greene is like, but we think it was Antifa, it was a false flag. So immediately, even before the dust was settled, before the glass was cleaned up, Republicans were, and allies of the president, were shifting. We're trying to find ways to explain this away. You know, Kevin McCarthy publicly gave a speech on the floor of the House, very critical of the former president. And then within weeks of Trump leaving office, he was down at Mar-a-Lago kissing his ring, going to get Trump's support for the midterms because, you know, in these days of partisan politics, winning is everything. And the calculus was that Trump remained a huge force in the party.
So, Amy, is this like cotton candy? It just kind of disappears if you look at it long enough? I mean,
Those Republicans, it does, right? Yeah. At the moment, as Tam said, we were talking to plenty of people who thought, on the Republican side, who thought, all right, this is it. This is the end. There were many things that the president did or is involved in that we thought were going to mark the end of either his candidacy or his tenure. Didn't come to pass, but surely something like this was going to be, was going to stick. And you literally watched hour after hour. And you could see it, you're right, in these texts, that it wasn't just saying maybe it's Antifa, but also continuing to press Meadows on these accusations of fraud, that they are going to find these machines that have been rigged and algorithms, all of those conspiracy theories starting up around that same time.
Well, it means there will be much, all the more attention to what the January 6th committee has to say when they hold their hearings, which you now believe is going to be in the month of June. We will be watching.
Yes.
Politics Monday, Amy Walter, Tamara Keith. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
Welcome.